And aren't we all looking swell as we get together again for another edition of Notable Notes, a monthly podcast brought to you by Document Records in association with American Sound Archives. I'm your host, Larry Tedder. Thanks so much for joining us this time around as we briefly explore an interesting facet of the early days of recording with the Hit of the Week records. We will hear selections from such legendary artists as Smith Ballou, the orchestras of Duke Ellington, Ted Fiorito, and Ben Pollock, as well as music by Rudy Valley. To form a new business venture, you need publicity. And if that new venture involves selling records, besides the usual advertising methods, there's nothing better than a demonstration record, such as...
This is the new Hit of the Week record. It is made of durian, the great invention of a Columbia University professor. Its tone is as rich and clear as the costliest record made. It is guaranteed to play perfectly longer than any other record. It won't break if you drop it. It brings you the latest dance hit every week, played by Broadway's best orchestras at the sensationally low price of 15 cents. Each week, our music jury, composed of Florence Ziegfeld, Eddie Cantor, and Vincent Lopez, select the outstanding dance hit of the hour for a Hit of the Week recording. A new Hit of the Week record is now on sale at all newsstands in this city. Get yours today, 15 cents. Stand by while Don Bury's famous orchestra plays for you, Tiptoe Through the Tulip. Come tiptoe through the tulip with me. Tiptoe from your pillow to the shadow of a willow tree, and tiptoe through the tulip with me. Deep in flowers we'll stray, we'll keep the showers away. And if I kiss you in the garden, in the moonlight, will you pardon me? Come tiptoe through the tulips with me.
February 1930, and the very first Hit of the Week recording, Tiptoe Through the Tulips. In the 1920s, Dr. Hal Beans, a professor of chemistry at Columbia University, developed a chemical compound that would have flexibility as well as strength. Its main use was commercial, as a substitute for shellac or varnish, and since shellac was the primary component used in the making of phonograph records, why not utilize this substance to spray on a paper base and make a strong yet flexible record, one that could be produced cheaper than the conventional records? The name of the product was Durium, and the Durium Products Corporation, along with Hit of the Week Records, were formed. The studios and offices were located in the McGraw-Hill Building on West 42nd Street in New York City. The Durium executives reasoned that the public would buy their latest hit records on the newsstands, just like a magazine. That's the reason they chose Thursday as their day of release for the records, for that's when the majority of the weekly magazines went on the stands. The price of only 15 cents would assure generous sales. Distribution began in February 1930. During the first week of January 1930, the Burt Lown Orchestra, along with vocalist Smith Ballew, were in the Dorian Recording Studios to make record number 1021. The song, Hello Baby, was taken from the 1929 motion picture The Forward Pass and was released on February 20th, 1930.
How do you do? Hello, baby, speaking to you, introducing no one else but me. In person, hello, baby, going my way. Hello, baby, what do you say? How about a little company? I take off my hat to a baby like you. Take off your high hat, and we'll find things to do together. Come on, baby, don't hesitate. Come on, baby, cooperate. Gee, you're swell. Oh, hello, hello, baby.
In the middle of January 1930, record number 1026 was cut, though it wasn't released until March 13th of that year. The Ben Pollock Orchestra was brought in to record the song I'm Following You. Pollock was a leader of all-star bands in the 1920s and 30s. On this recording, his band included the Teagarden Brothers, Charlie and Jack, as well as the older brother of Benny Goodman, Harry. Pollock was a good drummer, and as you'll hear on this record, he occasionally sang. He stayed popular for many years, but in the 1960s he drifted away from music and opened a restaurant in Palm Springs, California. It was there he committed suicide by hanging himself in 1971.
Thank you.
whatever you do, I want you to know I'm following you. Whatever you climb or tumble into, why, all of the time I'm following you. The battle won't be half so hard if you've someone to share it. I'll gladly carry half the load, and what's more, grin and bear it. You're part of my heart, you know that it's true. Whenever you start, I'm following you.
The roster of musicians passing through the portals of the McGraw-Hill Building to a Hit of the Week recording session resembled a who's who of New York musicians. The records were well made as a rule, and although the jazz content was negligible, this pressing made in March 1930 is interesting. Listed on the label as the Harlem Hot Chocolates, it is none other than Duke Ellington and his orchestra. If you listen closely, you can hear Cootie Williams, Johnny Hodges, and Barney McGard. The vocals for Sing You Sinners is done by Irving Mills. Many songwriters of the 1920s and 30s wrote a few hit songs, while others wrote many, and one such a man was Walter Donaldson. To mention a few are My Buddy, Yes Sir, That's My Baby, My Blue Heaven, Carolina in the Morning, Love Me or Leave Me, and Makin' Whoopee. In 1930, he wrote Little White Lies. It was written for and introduced by Guy Lombardo. For the Hit of the Week record of that song, Durium brought in Vincent Lopez and his orchestra, with Jack Parker providing the vocals. This was released as record number 1088, and it was on newsstands September 18, 1930. Lopez had a sweet-style band throughout the 1920s and 30s, and played at New York City's Hotel Taft for 27 years. He was active in the music business well into the 1970s, when at the age of 77, he died of a stroke in Miami, Florida.
I try, but there's no forgetting when evening appears. I sigh, but there's no regretting in spite of my tears. Who wouldn't believe those lips? Whoever could doubt those eyes? The night that you told me those little white lies.
Hit of the Week records were one-sided and brown in color. Sales ranged from 250,000 to 500,000 per record. By October 1930, sales of these discs topped all the competitors. Paying the regulation royalty of 2 cents per song, the copyright owners realized an income of $5,000 to $10,000, more than they could usually earn from the major record companies. Paul Morris, who had been with Edison Records, was made recording manager, and in May of 1930, Bert Hirsch assumed the direction of the house band at Durium. In August 1930, the motion picture Whoopee was riding the crest of popularity. In that movie, Eddie Cantor introduced the song My Baby Just Cares For Me. The powers that be in Durium brought in Ted Fiorito's orchestra in September 1930 to record the song for release in November. Ted Fiorito was a pianist and bandleader with a career spanning 50 years. He first formed a band in the early 1920s with Dan Russo, and they became well known as the Russo-Fiorito Orchestra, both on radio and records. By the time he made this recording, he had split with Russo and was now leading his own band. Here now is Hit of the Week record number 1104, My Baby Just Cares For Me.
baby don't care for shows. My baby don't care for clothes. My baby just cares for me. My baby don't care for furs and laces. My baby don't care for high-toned places. My baby don't care for rings or other expensive things. She's sensible as can be. My baby don't care who knows it. My baby just cares for me.
Sam Lannon was not only a band leader, but a musical contractor as well. He had a tremendous output, recording both under his own name and a large array of pseudonyms. During October of 1930, he and another freelance vocalist by the name of Paul Small teamed up to record Hit of the Week release number 1112. On this selection, Tommy Dorsey plays the trombone, and Manny Klein does the trumpet solo. The song is one that has stood the test of time well. Three Little Words, released December 1930.
I'd live for the rest of my days. And what I feel in my heart, they tell sincerely. No other words can tell it half so clearly. Three little words, eight little letters, which simply mean, I love you. Thank you.
beautiful? How'd you get so beautiful? How'd you get that sunshine in your smile? Hello, beautiful. Where are you going, beautiful? How'd you like to romance for a while? When you're near, what joy and cheer you're bringing. Can't you hear the bees and birdies singing? Oh, hello, beautiful. How can you be dutiful and still be mother's angel child?
When we talk of the old recording stars, the word prolific seems to enter our vocabulary often. Some artists came and went quickly, of course, but the good ones continued to be in demand. One such was a Texan by the name of Smith Ballou. With his silky smooth baritone voice, he was very much in demand because he could sing songs in their original key, thus eliminating the need to rewrite the music. He was in the Dorium Studios with the Vincent Lopez Orchestra on a cold day in December to make Hit of the Week record number 1120, Cheerful Little Earful. The song was written by Ira Gershwin and Billy Rose and was first introduced by Hannah Williams in the review Sweet and Low. Smith Ballou remained active in music through the 1930s, leading a smooth, large hotel band, and in the early 1940s went to Hollywood to star in low-budget westerns. And finally, in the 1950s, he returned to Fort Worth and went to work for General Dynamics.
There's a cheerful little earful. Gosh, I miss it, something fearful. And this cheerful little earful is the well known I love you. Stocks can go down, business slow down, but the milk and honey flow down with a cheerful little earful of the well-known I love you. In every play it's a set phrase, what the public gets praise, but as a pet phrase, it'll do, do, do. Pooperoo it, soft and hew it, make me happy, you can do it with a cheerful little earful of the well-known I love you. Thank you.
as a cheerful little earful. Gosh, I miss it, something fearful. And this cheerful little earful is a well-known I love you. Stocks can go down, business slow down, but the milk and honey flow down with the cheerful little earful of the well-known I love you.
That was Harry Reeser and his radio band with their hit of the week selection, When I Take My Sugar to Tea, record number 1147, released April 1931. Durium also produced other records, including humor, advertising, and lecture recordings. They also issued Durium Jr., a 4-inch record which sold for a nickel in Grant, Cress, and Newberry stores. Here is a sample of one of their advertising records cut in the summer of 1931 for Chevrolet, made to introduce the new 1932 Chevys which were to come on to the market that fall. These 4-inch records were sent out or given away free with the wording on the label, "Be sure to play this record today."
In a few days, the Chevrolet Motor Company will announce a great new car. We believe it is unquestionably the finest motor car this company has ever designed or built. Chevrolet's success has been due largely to the loyalty of its owners. Therefore, we are giving you this advance information so that you can arrange to be one of the first to experience the thrills of driving this new car. And when we say thrills, we mean just that. You will get the thrill of a smooth 60-horsepower six-cylinder engine with a speed of 65 to 70 miles per hour. The thrill of driving the first and only low-priced car with both simplified freewheeling and the silent shift synchromesh transmission. You will get the thrill of ultra-modern styling in smart new bodies by Fisher. And finally, the thrill of Chevrolet's greater comfort, durability, and economy at prices among the lowest at which motor cars are sold. So take advantage of this advance information to Chevrolet owners, and whether or not you intend to buy, arrange to drive this new car yourself and learn firsthand why Chevrolet is truly the great American value for 1932.
By early 1931, the country's depression was beginning to affect the record industry, but Durium continued issuing records every week, still with top-name artists. Names like Harry Reeser, Frank Luther, Vincent Lopez, and others cut sides for the Hit of the Week label. But Durium was in serious financial trouble, and in March 1931, the courts appointed a receiver for the firm, but they were permitted to continue issuing records. In May, some of the New York City department stores were selling Hit of the Week records at a discount, only 9 cents. A lot of changes were happening at Durium in 1931. In September, a new numbering system was introduced, and Phil Spitalny became leader of the house orchestra, a post he maintained until the end. In July, a competitor was working on a new flexible 33 and a third RPM record designed to play 10 to 15 minutes. To head off that competition, Durium came out with their own version of a long play record at 78 RPM. That meant almost 5 minutes of playing time. Now, in the beginning, the extra playing time was used just to play the one song longer. A month or so later, Durium decided to utilize the extra time to play two numbers on one record. They usually chose one current hit and another older song that didn't require any royalties. On record number L4, released November 26, 1931, they chose Shine On Harvest Moon, and for the second selection, the first song that Stephen Foster received any payment for, Oh Susanna. Bill Spitalny's orchestra is featured, Helen Rowland sings the first number, and a male quartet which included Bill Cody the second.
And spoon, so shine on, harvest. ain't had no lovin' since January, February, June, or July. No, time ain't no time to try to sleep. So shine on Harvard Moon, shine on for me and my gal.
I had a dream the other night when everything was still. I thought I saw Susanna come running down the hill. The buckwheat cake was in her mouth, a tear was in her eye. Says, I am coming from the south, Susanna, don't you cry. Oh, Susanna, oh, don't you cry for me. I come from Alabama with my banjo on my knee. Oh, Susanna, oh, don't you cry for me. I come from Alabama with my banjo on my knee.
Phil Spitalny was a clarinet prodigy, and as a youngster toured Russia where he was born. He also learned violin and came to America in 1917, settling in Cleveland, Ohio. In 1934, he formed an all-girl orchestra, for which he is probably best remembered. He died in 1970 at the age of 80. Early in 1932, Durium had another idea. They put a photo of the featured artist on the blank side of the record. Apparently, it didn't boost sales sufficiently to warrant the increased cost, so the idea was dropped after a few issues. This next recording was one of those with a photo, record number B-4, C-1, released February 25, 1932. Hungarian-born Erno Rapi was brought in for the session. Early in his career, he conducted at the Dresden and Magdeburg opera houses in Europe. In this country, he became a noted conductor of large orchestras on radio and in theaters. Paul Small is back doing the vocals on the first number, This Is the Mrs. The second number is The Merry Widow Waltz.
Thank you.
look her over. This is the missus, she's mine. I'll get those kisses, now I'm in clover. I've caught some fish on my line. I almost lips, yes sir, almost eyes, yes sir, and a whole lot more. She was worthwhile waiting for. This is the missus, just look her over. This is the missus, she's mine.
Vocalist Paul Small with Erno Rapi's orchestra. At about this time, Rapi became musical director of Radio City Music Hall and remained in that position until his death in 1945. Durium continued to sign up big names. Nick Lucas and Erno Rapi were signed, and they tried unsuccessfully to get Kate Smith, whose contract with Columbia was expiring. They signed Phil Spitalny to an exclusive contract, and finally were tremendously fortunate to sign Rudy Valley to an exclusive contract. His orchestra plays, and he sings the dual selections on disc number D-2-3, By the Fireside and Lovable.
Thank you. the gloaming by the fireside with you I'll be content. In the gloaming by the fireside every hour will be well spent. We'll see our hopes and dreams there like pictures in the fire, finding in its gleam dear our heart's desire. In an armchair by the fireside, just big enough for two, we'll be happy, oh so happy, while we do as lovers do. With no one there to notice, a little kiss or two, in the gloaming by the fireside with you. Just to be around you, I was mighty lucky that I found you free. I call you lovable, that's the name that fits you like a glove. Beautiful, wonderful, made for me to love. Lovable, lovable, all my life you'll be the one I care for. Can't you find a little love to spare for me?
Rudy Valley and his dual selection By the Fireside and Lovable, released April 14, 1932. 2 months later, in June, the last Hit of the Week record would be issued. In its 30 months of recording, 132 records were issued, featuring many of the great singers and musicians of the period. We ought to note, too, that the manufacturing of the records themselves, including the royalty payment, cost Durium 8 cents. The dealer paid 12 cents. As we mentioned earlier, the Durium Corporation, like other companies, also did a profitable sideline business doing custom recordings, such as a series of talks by well-known authorities on various scientific subjects, and for firms desiring sales promotion and advertising. Their list included Wrigley's Chewing Gum, General Electric, Goodyear, Westinghouse, and other firms. We listened to one such recording made for Chevrolet, And we will close this program with another custom recording from April 1932, made for Crisco Shortening, promoting the Mills Brothers and their new radio show.
Crisco, the all-vegetable shortening, which digests so easily, presents the Mills Brothers, singing their famous theme song, Goodbye Blues. There's no tuba, saxophone, trumpet, or trombone. The only instrument used is a guitar. All effects are achieved vocally. Unknown 6 months ago, the Mills Brothers today are internationally famous for having introduced a new rhythm and a new type of vocal harmony. We invite you to tune in and hear them at 7:15 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Tuesday and Thursday evening over the Columbia Broadcasting System.
And for more classic hit of the week recordings, visit our website at www.americansoundarchive.com and click on our recording links button, which will take you to our online catalog. There you will find CD number 101, the Hit of the Week collection featuring 18 classic tracks. Well, that's our program for this month, and we hope you enjoyed it. Our next program will feature the recordings of Eva Taylor. From her early days singing with her husband's band, the Clarence Williams Orchestra, to her triumphant comeback in 1975 at the age of 80. We'll hear from Spencer Williams, Clarence and Eva's son, as well as a rarely heard live performance from 1977, which unfortunately was her last. Notable Notes is a monthly podcast brought to you by Document Records in association with American Sound Archives. I'm your host, Larry Tedder, thanking you for listening, and hope you'll join us again next month for another edition of Notable Notes.